Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you today in the Extra Hour is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Also joining us in the Extra Hour to encourage you is Steve Kalaszewski.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And the one, the only, the man, the Ed McMahon of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you this morning is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Also joining us this morning is the one, the only, the man, of course, our Ed McMahon, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we're so excited to have Pittsburgh in advance in our studios here today. We have VFN Pittsburgh's leadership with us in the studio, Steve Kalaszewski.
A big northern hey guys to you.
Good day.
Hey Yinz.
Hey Yinz.
My big Yinzers. Right. I can't wait to meet the future Yinzers.
Yinzers. Yinzers. Man, I got to lose some weight for some Philly cheese
sandwiches. Oh. Philly? No, no Philly. No,
oh, that's
no,
right.
No, no.
Is there any Pittsburgh Avenue?
Oh, from the hot dog.
From Manti's. Who wants some Philly cheese?
Yeah. Wait until you have a bite of some Pittsburgh Primanti's. Oh, that's some good stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios today to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good
morning. My goodness. I'm so enjoying the program today as every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're listening out there and you're getting stirred up and you're saying, oh my goodness, I want to be a part of the end time move of God. I want to be a part of what God is doing on the face of the earth. Hey, check out Vine Fellowship Network University. Get trained up. Be a part of this last day Gideon's army that's going to be advancing the kingdom of God on the face of this earth.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, VFNU.org.
Yes, yes, yes. Also joining us this morning, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. You know, we were talking just yesterday, you know, Steve and I were about the Three Rivers Crossing in Pittsburgh, and the lady that you were talking to under the bridge,
Shane,
right, and the revelation that God is beginning to open up more and more to us about His perspective of all mankind, which you might as well just default to His perspective of the poor, because that's the part of, you know, everybody loves a rich guy.
That's right.
It's kind of, you know, everybody's a banker, right?
It's like, that's right.
He's not a banker. He's a collection agency. Anyway.
Yes. Stop calling him a banker.
He is not a banker.
But you got to begin to ask yourself, what is rich?
Right. Right, right, right.
That's the perspective.
Well, you know, what God's revealing to us is that, you know, I can see Him, because He sat up under the bridge with her. You know, as she's homeless, and her story is that she was on a particular drug addiction and she had to leave Washington, D.C., which I think there's a lot of people on drugs in Washington, D.C. And then and then comes to get away, you know, and here, you know, when he goes to spy out the land, you know, in the early processes of going to Pittsburgh and hearing God, and it's, you know, it's about to manifest all of the faith and all of the deeds. And and with that to go back now with the God's perspective of the poor and realize that she is Lazarus, and that sitting under that bridge with the right perspective, you know, is, you got to get that, because everybody in Pittsburgh are the same to God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And quite often, it's not a hard thing to explain to poor people that that they're okay with God. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to explain to the rich people that they're not any more important or any better than the person who doesn't have anything at this point in time. As a matter of fact, what you do, and this is the really interesting thing about that, is the fact that if you look at Jesus is telling the story. Jesus is the one telling it. And he said nothing and did nothing unless he heard his father say it or do it. And so this is a very important thing. You know, and he confirms it also. He said, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me or didn't do. But he said this about the rich man and Lazarus. A long story short, Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. But they didn't say he was in adultery. They didn't say he was, you know, doing something wrong. I mean, it just said that his viewpoint of mankind was wrong and he did not share his possessions.
Right.
Things that God had given him, did not share it with Lazarus.
Right.
Because Lazarus was wanting to eat the food that just fell from his table, and he had dogs licking his sores, and you know, Mother Teresa really had this.
Yeah, you know, she gave her life to the poor and to the unborn, and when we can live a life like that, that's totally surrendered to say, you know what, every person on the face of the earth has value. Yeah, I remember one of her quotes is so awesome. One of her quotes is that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them. And we're going to be careful that we're not judging the poor. We're not looking at them and saying, how did you get there? And how did you arrive there? And what happened to you? And
we
if I
are
give you
them.
This dollar, are you
we
gonna
are
buy
them.
That dollar?
Right.
Are you
yeah.
gonna, and we're going to love them and take care of them, because that's what God called us to do.
Yeah.
And you look at the church and you look at some of the recent statistics from George Barna. You know, did you know that the more income they've did this research, I think the believers, the more they made like between $50,000 to $70,000 and above, they actually tithe a less percentage than the person that tithe in the income range was you know, a little bit lower, you know, actually significantly lower. And the thing is that the conclusion of the research was that the wealthy Christians were trusting in their richness and were not trusting in God.
Right.
And the person that had less was able to have total dependency upon God, even the less that they had to say, I'm just going to honor God with it. And we just got to get a right perspective on what God is saying.
You know, and thinking about that, John, like you're saying, it's having the right perspective of Jesus's perspective of the rich man and the poor man. And so often, especially in America, we can get blinded by what we see in the natural, whether it be a building or clothes or something. And I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was just so hungry for the things of God, and I just wanted to just share His love with everybody, and do what I can. And in that, I had such a concern for, all of a sudden, it was like homeless people became known to me. It was like all of a sudden, it's like my eyes were just open to that. There are homeless people in my own city, and I began to think about it. And I'm like, I have never noticed homeless people. I never have. I was 28 years old. And all of a sudden, I was just like, I want to do something. I have to do something. And I found out that there was a, it was during the Christmas season, and I wanted to, there was a kind of like a group that was like handing out food to the homeless people. You can go downtown, and they had everything set up, and people would call ahead of time and say, I need food, and you would bring food to them. And on this route, there was a specific residence and address that we had difficulty finding, and he had asked for like 8 or 9, you know, servings of food, I guess, for a large family. Mm-hmm. And we finally find this address, and it was back behind, you know, the driveway was long, you know, the grass was high. It was an quote unquote unkept house. It wasn't clean as far as somebody might originally think about. We get to the house, and there's trash all over the front door, all over the patio. The door's cracked open, so I knock on the door, and I'm like, hello, is anybody home?
Mm-hmm.
And an elderly man comes to the door. He's in crutches. It doesn't smell clean. He's very unkept, missing most of his teeth. Looks like he hasn't bathed.
Mm.
And I said, hey, I said, how you doing, man? And he looks at me, and he has got the biggest glimmer shine in his eyes, the biggest smile.
Wow.
And he looks at me with just the most biggest, just display of gratitude. And he just says, I'm blessed. And I'm just thankful to be here.
Think about it. The poor, they're so rich in faith.
Right. And we talked briefly and I handed and we talked and I shared, I gave him the food that we had for him and he was just so grateful to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it was just like my paradigm was just shifting mm-hmm. in a moment. And as I left, got back in my car and God speaks to me. And he said, that's a rich man.
Wow. Exactly.
And I just started crying. I just started weeping. And it's just like, we miss it. We mm-hmm. have it upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, God said, that is a rich man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, riches is not, you know, your paycheck. Mm-hmm. Riches is not, you know, your 4,500 square foot house or, you know, the size of your car or the amount of acreage that is put on your asset list on your financial asset. And it's like, no, richness is the kingdom of God. Richness is in the things of Christ and his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Are you rich in your relationship with Jesus? Because I'll tell you what, when that man said that to me, I was just beginning a journey of just like, God, reveal to me your riches.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it just, God is good.
Awesome. It's powerful.
Well, think about, you know, when you look at what happened to Israel, you know, under Hitler and how they came and oppressed the Jews and they took away their businesses, took away their homes, mm-hmm. took them into the ghettos, packed them into houses, you know, took them into trains. They took them to the concentration camps.
Yeah.
Right. And in that, the mm-hmm. concentration camps, they even killed them and shot them with firing squads, and took them into showers. They looked like a shower. Then they sprayed chemicals on them to kill them. Then they burned them. Mm. And then they degraded them so much they wouldn't even look at them like they had value. You know, a guard would come out and I don't know, what's the movie Schindler's List. I mean, you've got to see that to get a perspective, but you know, they would come out and this one particular guard would come out and stand on his balcony and just start shooting at them like they were ducks. And they wouldn't even give them, if you watch Schindler's List, you know, and you need to watch it with your parents' permission, but you need to watch it to understand that that's what Satan thinks of you, church. You know, that's what Satan thinks of you. And you think you got a partnership with him, you don't. And he hates you. And he wants you to feel like you're nothing and you don't exist and you're devalued and all these things that so many people are blaming everybody else for. It's actually Satan telling you that directly, and he's accrediting it to people around you, making you think they're the ones doing it, so you can be divided from the very people that's going to give you hope. But in that, you know, when you're, I'm watching clips, you know, we have a teaching series about, you know, seeking God's perspective of Israel. And in that, we're playing clips about when the American soldiers freed them from the concentration camps. They were so neglected. They were so, you know, it was just terrible what took place, that they had them all sit down in groups, and they started giving them the soldiers gave them like candy bars and different things like that. And like this one lady, she takes this candy bar. This is an actual thing happening. This is not Schindler's List. This is footage from the soldiers coming and free them. And she takes this candy bar like she will never have a candy bar again in her life. And she takes it and she goes and she hides it. I mean, to the lowest common denominator. Satan wants to take you down to the lowest common denominator of your life. And her hope was that she thought she would never. I mean, she was gracious that she got that. But this is the big thing. And that's huge. I mean, but this is what I'm about to say in comparison to what we're talking about. And then one soldier just looks over in the eyes of one of those Jews that were sitting there, you know, waiting to be fully freed or whatever, and just gives her a kind look. That's it. And she just begins to weep. The Jewish lady begins to weep because it's like she was like she did not even exist.
Yeah.
And even a kind look a kind look. She was grateful to God because somebody realized I exist. And they gave me a kind look. You know, there, I'm telling you, you know, it, there's, I mean, you know, I challenge you to walk around, look in the mirror quite often, but you could, it's just, people are so aware of their own looks. When they look at themselves in the mirror, they give themselves a real good look. But when they look at you, it's like the world's falling apart. And it's like, well, I'm just thinking. It's like, when you look at yourself, you're not just thinking.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we need some kind looks. We
tell
need somebody,
your face to smile, please. Yeah, tell please tell that, your face,
you know, let's put some duct tape on that puppy and pull it up with a smile going on. But when you put, but when you put a mirror in front of their face, it's just like this bing.
Pearly
white.
It's
like, you have been fooled. You only smiled at yourself. You know, and that we got to start giving people gracious looks.
Yeah.
You know, we have to start again, you know, saying, you know, that we are thankful, just like this man that Steve's talking about, that we, God can put us in a place in our life. If we're not grateful now with what we have, he can take us in a place where we have nothing and we'll be the most grateful person in the world. But why do we have to go through all, why don't we just say thank you now? Why don't we share our possessions now? Yeah. Why don't we just quit, you know, stop playing church and start to be the church, which is the body of Christ, and be his hands extended, and understand that, you know, share, if only 97%, according to George Barna, are even, you know, giving to God, you know, they're not giving to the poor. I mean, come on, we got to begin just give. Mm-hmm. Just be freely, you know, we receive, we need to freely be able to give that and understand that. And just, you know, it's the love we have for each other and our compassion that says that we're Jesus's. You know what I'm saying? And that if we're not if we're not loving God, I mean, obviously we're not Jesus's, you know, and we're not a great witness. And love is obedience to the Lord. And if we're not loving each other, we're not obeying the commandment, right?
Right.
You know, and it's so simple. It's so simplistic, but it requires you to die to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same, right?
Yeah.
That's just how simple it is. But the problem is we're not in that equation. But he said, listen, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him, you can have no part of him. But it's okay, because if you love God and love others, God will love you.
That's right.
And if God, if the creator of the universe, who is preparing the wedding banquet for you, if he loves you, I mean, come on.
That's
come
some on. Good when
you
love.
Think about that. And not only that, he'll love you through the very people that you are loving for him, because he dwells inside of them.
That's right.
It's just a beautiful thing. Everybody, so many people are waiting, well, you love first. It's like, well, that ain't going to happen. Right. God's not going to let that happen for you, because you're, it's the wrong motives. It's the wrong motives that he's beating himself with a mic. He's like, there you go, boom, 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 boom.
Hey,
he's
like, oh, he's like, over there, man. No, you're Marine.
I'm telling you, well, he's running in place, hitting himself in the head with a mic, kicking him with his foot. He's like, oh my goodness.
Hold him down over there. He's excited.
He likes to spin his chair when he talks. That's what it is.
Like, does he? What he's doing is he dancing over there. Chair, right?
We don't have that energy. We just kind of like, you know, just stationary. But watch my lips. Watch my lips.
Yeah, I'm strapped in the chair. Right. Beat me up.
Yeah, right, right. I see your abs, man. That thing's really working right now.
Hey, man.
That barbed wire fence. The so, but understanding that when the soldier just looked at her after all those years of being mistreated and being everything taken from her. You know, we're gonna be grateful. Let me tell you something.
It's coming.
Gratitude's coming.
It's coming.
I mean, gratitude is coming. The question is, are we gonna choose to be grateful now? Are we gonna wait till somebody gives us a chocolate bar and a kind look? But man, gratitude's gonna come.
Telling you. That's why one of the Ten Commandments is "Thou shalt not covet." You know, it's like, why are we sweating what our neighbor has? This is what America's doing. If they got a new car, so I need to get a new car. And we're measuring our lives by what the commercials tell us, by what our neighbors drive and by what our coworkers are doing, and what we're not looking at the world, and we're not recognizing that we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth.
Well, I don't think this generation today even understands the word covet. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, well, covet, it's like, you know, wanting in your heart is that deep desire to have.
Think of a different semantic than that, because that's such a, they file that away.
Kind of like jealousy. It's like what you were saying before, and you know, you see what someone else has, and you are no longer thankful for what you're given.
Yeah, you want it. It's exactly. That great desire to have something that you don't have. It's like a deep envy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and you're not satisfied, and it's like a comparison, or you got to have it. It's like, that's all America. I mean, think about it.
It's a lot of America, right?
I mean, you look at children. I'm sorry. But you look at children, and they have a toy, and immediately they see someone else's toy, and they just drop it. They cry, and they say, I want your toy.
That sounds like a lot of big children.
I'm about to say. Does that happen to children too? I'm thinking, does that happen to children too?
Yeah, does that happen to children? It's like, you're right. If we don't learn gratefulness on this side, you know, that's what godliness with contentment is great gain. When we start to appreciate that everything that we have comes from the hand of God. We've been living a life that's taken so much pride for the things that we have. You know, one of the greatest things to do is just sit in your house and just look at the things that you've been blessed with. And realize, wait a minute, it wasn't my strength. This was God who provided this. When we make that shift in our mind, we realize, man, we are blessed, and God has equipped us with everything that we need. Mm-hmm.
But John, you can only do that when you start giving something away. So don't, you know, think if you put all your stuff from A to Z, and A is what's most precious to you, and Z is the least precious to you, then what the church has been doing to this point is giving away the Z's.
That's right.
Disease.
Yeah. Giving up the messed up shoes to missions and the, you know what I'm saying? All this other stuff.
Yeah. Think about it, disease. Anyway, so, but then, you know, go and then what you said was most valuable to you and practice now by giving it away. Give away your A.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it yet, give away your B.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep giving it away and you'll be happy with your Z. I mean, just keep. Until you understand the people that you're giving to is just as important to you, and the guy is for an audience of one, and you're trying to get your heart in alignment, start giving stuff away. Just, I don't care if you don't have, listen, America thinks it's all about money. God says it's about increase. So if God's giving you, you know, 5 or 10 oranges, give one orange away. Mm-hmm. If you, and then that's your tithe. So then give away 5 other oranges as an offering. You know,
that's right.
You know, if he gives you a car, give somebody a ride to work and know that every day you're giving them a ride to work, that you're saying thank you to God because he gave you that car. It's an increase. I mean, there's so many different ways to be able to thank God, you know. And before we go to a break here just for a moment, I want to be able to welcome Mike and Denver and Teresa and Keith and oh, so many new listeners, Cindy. I mean, as we're listening right now, we have these great listeners. Hector. Hector. Mm-hmm. We're just so glad to have you guys joining us and connecting to us, and we're excited about walking this out together. We're excited about bringing this where there's hope. Mm-hmm. There's hope for America. There's hope for the world. There's hope for the church. If, in fact, we hear the voice of the Lord, which is one of a loving Father saying, come back to me. We'll be right back.
You know, Pat. Steve,
mm-hmm.
I remember when I used to go to a traditional church.
Yeah.
And for so many years, you try to have relationship. But really, how could you? You're there for a couple of hours. Everything gets started. It's timed. And before you know it, it's done.
It's hard.
And many people experience the same thing. I can remember when I first became part of VFN and Vine Fellowship Network, it truly was all about family.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like I was stepping into the book of Acts because it wasn't about anything else except knowing God. It was about loving God, loving others, and helping other people to experience the same love.
Yeah.
VFN family, if you're searching for a place where you can walk out your authentic walk with God, where you just are not, it's not an emphasis on going to church, but really on being the church. I want to encourage you, check us out at vfnfamily.org. Be a part of the family. If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
Oh, I was so convinced we were going to see what we just saw before you actually put it.
I know.
Oh, it was so much fun. We were younger then. Now, Natalia, I'll probably do the very same thing. I remember, I don't have time to talk about it, but I had the same experience on the teacup.
In a
Disney World, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to spend this puppy. And you know, Donna and Megan.
That's the kiddie ride, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's the kiddie ride. Well, I'm almost who would have ever thought you would feel that way on a teacup, right?
Right.
And so I'm like spinning it. I'm like, boosh, boosh. We're flying around. Our heads are like pulling back with huge gravitation. All of our heads are going to lean back.
That's a kiddie ride.
Right? Well, yes, yes. And then I looked somewhere or something. I thought, I am spinning around at 30,000 miles an hour. Our heads are leaning back. I can't even, all I can see is their necks because their heads are back. And I'm fixing, this is not going to be good. You know, I thought, man, I am fixing. Oh, my goodness. But I just thank God he had mercy on me. It didn't happen. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is John Ramos, Pat Hamilton, and Steve Kalaszewski. Here we are. We're just talking about how to be grateful. You know, we enter his courts with thanksgiving. It's just gratitude. I mean, mm-hmm. It will really challenge you. And I want to have the wisdom moment. Just a moment. We're going to talk about the wisdom moment. Oh, I want to give a big shout out to Abe. Good morning, Abe, all the way from the Emerald Coast to Jersey. Oh, my goodness. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Also, we want to remember that we enter his courts, his gates, with gratitude. We enter into God. I mean, how many times do you, you know, think about, how many times do you think about when people are, you know, again and again and again?
Oh my goodness, Steve! Are you beating yourself over there? All right, let's get this thing together here.
I think that was coming out of.
We're talking about gratefulness, and yes. Oh my goodness,
yes,
it's so good.
Well,
you
think about it. Well, entering his courts for gratitude, entering his courts for gratitude, understanding that when somebody comes to you and all they do is whine, you know, you just don't want to hear it. I mean, if you did all that stuff for them. And they're not, I mean, it's just like...
Complaining breaks me out into an itch.
I mean, didn't you just drive here in a car? You know, didn't you have gas in your tank? And didn't you just eat this morning? And, I mean, start with something that you're grateful for when you're talking to God. You know, are you an American? I mean, come on. I mean, we're living in the top 3% of the world if you're American. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's something to be thankful for. And when we compare, like, what we're talking about with Lazarus, when we're talking about, you know, the man that Steve saw when he was handing out the food, that, you know, that with that, the, you know, just being grateful, it's amazing how many people are, who have a whole bunch of things and stuff and all that they're not grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They're miserable. It's like, I mean, you got all this stuff and things and cars and... everything you can imagine, and you're miserable, and it's like, you know, start over again.
Yeah.
You know, start over again, and with that, when you start over again, get rid of everything. Just give it all away. Mm-hmm. And with that, you can you can begin to appreciate the things that God gives. He says about this, I believe it is in Amos chapter 2, that he says specifically that he will take everything away from you and then begin to give them back one by one until you're grateful. You know, and it's like, you know, sometimes we have to do that ourselves. Just get rid of everything and begin again. As a matter of fact, what's happening in the top three, John?
Oh, my goodness. It's so exciting right now. I want to thank so. It's so encouraging when our VFN radio listeners are visiting VFN Torch. I mean, they're listening to so many encouraging messages and segments. And the top three, this is exciting because it just seems to everyone's just being so connected right now. It's Hurricane Isaac, a warning shot fired over the bow of America. You know, this is such a timely prophetic word, and it's just speaking to us. In fact, Hurricane Isaac means laughter, and it's interesting how this hurricane is intersecting, you know, the political convention that the nation uses to select their leaders. You know, at the same time, it seems like it's God's people, you know, that will claim to follow Jesus who are actually turning over to politics rather to repentance to save not only ourselves, our nation, and Israel. And so let me tell you, you know, these are some serious times. We want to hear what God is saying. I want to encourage you, visit the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, if you want to hear that again or share that with a friend. But that's the number one. Number two is the world is over in 6 minutes, the reporter said. And this was a segment that was covered that Greg and I shared regarding prophetic dreams and visions that we received about the fall of the economy. One was which that, you know, the economy was going to fall in 6 minutes. And you got to hear this. You got to hear this. This is God speaking. And as well, the dream that Greg had about all the monies, all the dollar bills being sucked right and funneled right out of the economy. I'm telling you, we can put our trust. God's not writing America off. God's writing America in. But we need to put our trust and our hope in God. Just like we were doing, you know, as we were talking about before early in the segment, Steve, that, you know what, let's just honor the Lord with our wealth. Let's give to the poor. Let's give God what totally belongs to God. Let's honor him with the tithe and the offerings and not tip God, but give God, because you can't trust in this world's economy. This world's economy is going down. So we want to make sure that we're participating in God's economy. Amen. The third one, Steve, is Hillary Clinton vice president ? Oh my goodness, this is getting so much traction.
That is definitely a good one.
Oh my goodness, you know, this segment is so powerful because, you know, Greg and I were sharing about some prophetic leadings that if two certain things happen, if two certain things take place, it's very likely that Hillary Clinton, who's the Secretary of State, who is the third most powerful person in the cabinet in this administration, could be on the presidential presidential ticket as vice president.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this is some serious times that we're living in. I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. Spend time on the VFN torch. Spend time listening to those segments and forward them and sharing them with your friend. I encourage every time I go on Facebook and I see someone liking and sharing. But you know what? You can go to VFNTV.com, go on the VFN Torch, and share and click on for yourself. Anyway, that I just want to encourage you with the top three of the VFN Torch.
Yeah, there's no better time to just pay attention and find out what's going on, because a lot of people are seeing the shaking and they're losing hope and they're like, you know, what is going on? Where do we look to? Because what I was previously looking to is no longer there to look to, or we realize that it's falling, it's unraveling, and it's shambling, and it's just where do we go? Where do we turn to? And God has given us this wisdom because He's speaking to us Himself. He's sharing us to us what He's doing. It's just like, just turn to God, turn to Jesus.
Yeah,
we can repent and we can stop all this and just get on our knees and just look to the heavens, look to the Lord, look to Jesus.
I know it. I'm like,
you know what? We just want you.
Right. I'm like, what part of suffering do you? I don't want any of that part of suffering.
Yeah.
Let me turn to God. Let's participate in God's economy Amen. Versus the world's economy. And those that are participating in God's economy, you're going to be good. You're going to be right. okay. God's going to take care of you.
That's right.
You know, before we share the moment of wisdom, though, with this, you know, I want Steve to talk about, you know, we just had a man barricaded in his house saying he was going to, you know, end his life because of all the pressures taking place. We had all these things that are happening. But just tell us, you know, from a perspective of what you're seeing firsthand.
Well, I was
without any details.
Right. At work recently, you know, someone came up and while talking to him, you know, it just a lot of things just started unraveling to him. And as we were talking, and I just gave him the bill, and it was just all of a sudden just that in itself was just the hay that broke the proverbial camel's back.
You didn't really know that he was coming to the end of himself, that his gods were falling, everything he depended on,
that he previously
all of
looked
his
to.
Trust. Mm. And so all it took was a simple thing like a bill,
right?
More than what he thought it was going to be. And this guy lost it.
Yeah.
I mean, he lost it. Yeah. We're not talking a $10,000, but we're talking, a little bit of extra money on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
But because everything's crashing, so what did he do at that point?
So as we were continuing to talk, he just said, you know, the benefits are falling apart. You know, they're telling me that the benefits are going to be taken away. And then just started talking about those that were ungrateful in his life for what he's doing for them. He's just like, you know, I just can't do it anymore. You know, nobody's grateful for what I'm doing. You know, people are just kind of, just speaking against me, and I'm doing everything I can. And he's just like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. If you need to go somewhere else to find what you need, then go ahead. And it just sounded like just a lack of hope. Like
he told his wife that, hey, you know, you need to go find you someone else. I mean, everything that was making demands of him, he just wanted to stop it.
Exactly.
Because he felt just all of his gods, everything that he depended on. Mm. You know, we say we're Christians, but the question is, who was our God?
Right.
That's right.
Who is our God? We find out who our God is when things start to fall apart. Mm. Do we still have a relationship with God, or do all of a sudden we're throwing our hands up? Do we only serve God as long as our provision is there?
Right.
You know? Mm. And the thing is that's what we found out. Provision was our God, but God wasn't our God.
Right.
That's right.
And that's so significant because you really see how many people are following God. And for many aren't aware of it. It's just like Christian means Christ follower. And you will find out very quickly if you're following Christ when all of a sudden something else is taken away from you, and that just causes an uproar or an upheaval in your life. And it takes humility to acknowledge this. It's like, okay, God, I'm following something apart from you because my life is showing it. Because if it was taken away from me and I'm following you, it doesn't matter if it was taken away from me. And a lot of things are being taken away in America, and people are finding out that they might say it, but very few people are following Jesus. And that is the perspective. That's the paradigm that we have to get, is that we might understand and realize that Christian means Christ follower. And many are saying they are Christians, but the reality is very few are following Jesus Christ.
That's it. And it's just the beginning of that taking place.
Right,
And that's what when we're talking about, you know, honoring God with his tithes and offerings, it has nothing to do about money. Yeah. It has to do about your heart. And you want to practice now doing that so you can trust God when you have increase or you have decrease, when you have a job or you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that God's going to provide for you. Now's the time to do it. You know, before, and get your feet wet now, you know.
That's
we'll figure it out, but get them wet now and hearing the voice of the Lord and walking in dependency to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And be ready too, to be a witness. He said that when a great storm happens and great destruction or disaster is happening, he said, people will look at you as a believer and they'll say that you are, that they're going to be destroyed. But you're going to be saved, and that by God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. But what also means that's the point. You don't go, hey, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to say, you can have God too. Right. You won't let them know you can turn to God. I know that's what you were telling him,
right?
You know, that when you started talking to to the man, you know, who, and you know, we've all been at that point where you're just kind of losing it in the context and you're not making sense because the enemy's attacking you from every angle. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a military dude. He fought for our nation. I mean, that alone, when you come back to America, who didn't even know you were fighting.
Exactly.
Much less.
I appreciate yourself.
Yeah, much less the fact that when they do find out, they don't even recognize it as a man of valor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they don't honor it, you know, and then top that off with all the financial and economic pressures. And they've been trained with guns. You know, you want to figure this thing out. You know, and so that's what you know. You begin to pray for him, right?
Yeah, yeah. And just share with him the process because I told him, I was like, I am you. I know right where you're at. And just share with him my transition and my journey coming out of the military. And it was just like I was at the very same moment and almost ended my life and took the life of someone else. But God stepped in, a God that I did not know. Stepped in and revealed himself to me when I cried out to a God that I didn't know. And all of a sudden made me aware that what I was looking to, which I thought was important, was not important.
Mm.
And the reality is too, is just that you might not know that there's a God that loves you, but the reality is there is a God and his name is Jesus Christ. And he wants to know you. And you can call out to him just like I did. And just like I was telling this man, you can call out to him.
You didn't even know God.
No, I didn't. It's like
God knew you, didn't he?
Exactly. The life that I lived, I wanted nothing to do with God. I was looking to everything in the world. I wanted what I wanted. And when I and this is what he was sharing with me is just like, you know what? I just don't understand. I've told God what I want and he won't give it to me. He won't give it to me. And it's just like it was never about what we wanted. It's what God wants and the things that he wants for us is far greater than anything that we could ever want. What the world could ever give us. What God has for you through his son, Jesus Christ, is greater. Mm-hmm. And you can call out to him right now and just say, Jesus, I've looked to everything. I've looked to my job. I've looked to my benefits. I've looked to my marriage or just whatever. And just give it to Jesus, that weight, that burden, that stress, that constant tension, feeling like you're about to explode.
Yeah.
You can give that to Jesus.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He took it. He took all of that weight, all of that burden, all of that pressure. He took it so you don't have to. You can call out to him right now and just say, this is me. I feel like I'm going to explode. I'm going to explode on somebody if something doesn't change in my life.
Right.
And just say, you know what, Jesus? Please take this burden right now. Just take it off of me. Just take this. I just give it to Jesus right now, and I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. I just repent for looking to all of this. I repent for looking and expecting and demanding and complaining when I didn't get it. God, just take it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just ask him to come into your life right now.
Yes.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
You can go to meetmyfather.org right now. We'll help you on that journey. Meetmyfather.org. And we share with you a couple of our stories. And we want to make Father God known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Meetmyfather.org. You know, before we move into the wisdom moment, I want to quickly just share, just looking at yesterday, you know, on VFN Radio, I'm looking at the torch right now. You know, looking after the one who's looking after you. We have to get God's perspective on our bosses. Yeah. You know, if we want to have a job, you think about that. We need to be able to think about that as well, you know. And another one that we talked about yesterday, and you can find this on the torch, is Islam has a plan to kill our president. God reveals this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can hear that on For God Does Speak.
Wow.
Right. Go to VFN Torch and see this for yourself. Go to VFNTV.com. You know, talk about the virtual stadium, about filling the stadiums around the nation, but you first have to fill the virtual stadiums. You know, God cares about the poor. You know, recounting, there's a funny story in there about, you know, a humorous time with John and I, and I think either John was in flip-flops or I was, I don't know. We're running from our life, you know, running for our...
In Jersey.
And it just, that's just yesterday alone, so make sure you get a chance to be able to go there and to, and just... soak in this, but you want to hear. I mean, if there's somebody trying to harm our president, as a believer, you need to know about it and you need to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pray for protection for him. Mm-hmm. And don't buy into what some political party saying, anything in a derogatory to what God would say. We're not We're not, you know, God's not a Republican. God's not a Democrat. You know, he is for God.
That's right.
And so we have to understand that, that we need to pray for our leader so that we'll have a peaceful life.
Yeah.
If anything happens to our leadership, it's not going to be peaceful in America.
Yeah.
You know, second of all, but first of all, he's a human being, and pray for protection over him and his wife and his family, that he mm-hmm. would live and not die.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that not only that, that he would even come to the, if he doesn't know God, that he would know God through his son, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Does that make, you know?
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and there's just so much more to that. But today's moment of wisdom is from Proverbs chapter 28. We know that's yesterday, but we're going to talk about it today because we skipped it over yesterday. Yeah, Proverbs 28:4. And it reads, because we always want to watch the wisdom of God over us. Those mm-hmm. who forsake the law praise the wicked. Wicked means immoral. Mm-hmm. So those who forsake the law mm-hmm. praise the immoral. But those who keep the law resist them.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Because right now you're looking at so many things taking place. It's amazing today how many immoral men and women who are openly doing what is not right, not only in the eyes of God, but also in the eyes of the community, I mean, in the eyes of our Constitution, yet they have many fans that are praising them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They're just praising them. You know, think about exactly. it. It's like, what's going on? And today's wisdom helps us to understand why those who openly are wrong or immoral speak not only as those like the world, or even I'm not even talking about the world, just the church in itself and Christians
mm-hmm.
that are praising those who are doing this, because he's letting us know the reason why they do that is because they are actually in agreement with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
They're looking at a way to get permission to sin. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said the reason why they praise those that are wicked or immoral is because it's something that they agree with. And so so don't get carried away when you look at somebody who's saying something that's contrary to God, contrary to the God founding of this nation, and then a whole bunch of people, you know, all of a sudden just say, hey, this is great. Let's go in this direction. Don't give up what's right,
right.
you know,
right.
for that. Because he says that we're supposed to actually resist that. Today's wisdom yeah. says, but we resist it. And the first way we resist it is to prevent by action or argument.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Prevent by action or argument. Of
right.
course, no man keeps the law perfectly, but there's a huge difference between somebody who gives themselves over to something.
Right. And lives contrary to it openly.
Right. And just, versus, you know, by the grace of God and the power of the cross of Christ, we fight against that which fighting against us. It's the fighting mm-hmm. and fight of faith. Mm-hmm. It's not, nobody is sinless.
Right.
But the very right. fact, there's a difference in giving yourself over to something. You know, Paul said, the things that I hate, I do.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't hate the things that we end up doing sometimes because we are a sinner saved by grace, and that, you know, we fail.
It's like the sheep and the pig. You know, the sheep falls into a little bit of dirt and it's like, you know, get this thing off of me, you know,
right,
but
right.
big rolls up in there and it's slap happy. And
this is good. I want some more mud.
Great. Big difference.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. You know, and how do we fight against it? Well, we don't fight against it by screaming at someone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first thing we have the first thing we need to do, you know, is begin to keep the law ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, don't just pick out the things you don't like and preach against your preferences and keep the things that you do. But really begin to abide with God. Begin to spend mm-hmm. time with him. Begin to hide his word in your heart. Begin to pray to him, listen to him, and do what he says. You know, wisdom tells us that we're not just to sit back and let wickedness or immorality run wild, but we're mm-hmm. supposed to resist it.
That's
and
right,
personally, yeah. we start beginning to resist it in ourselves. We're not to be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not to fall to the majority concept of what's going mm-hmm. on, but look at how many people are praising those who are immoral today in the nation and the mm-hmm. things that they're doing. You know,
it's like you liked what on your Facebook? It's like
yeah.
you're a believer mm-hmm. and that you yeah. like that demonic thing? Like mm-hmm. what in the world yeah. is that? Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some, you know, there's some amazing.
You know, I'm just like, but that's just, you know, that's just Facebook. What I'm just saying is right. like. And what you're saying is like, we that cannot be us.
Right.
You know,
right.
we cannot be you know, in agreement with people that is like promoting wickedness. It's like, yeah. What, you know, that's opposite. That's contrary to what God's word says and what we're supposed to walk out with, right. God. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely hit the nail right on the head. Those are doing that. It's just, it's in their spirit. It's their agreement. Right. They're looking for agreement with that.
Right. And so that's why you're going to, it's kind of like, oh my goodness. Now that means that I can do this thing without being, you know, condemned or criticized. I can, right. just give myself up. And it's for the eyes of men.
Too. I could like it too.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
The things I used to think was bad when I was convicted are no longer bad anymore, I guess, because, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's a downward spiral of that. Mm. You know, versus going back to the plumb line of God's word and find out what God says about it, right? You know, and when you do that, every one of us are driven to the cross because we need Jesus. Nobody, the only standard is Jesus. It's not
right.
Any
Don't
man.
Use someone else's standard. No, you know, just look right. at, oh, that person's godly and they did that. So wait a second. What are you? The standard is always the word of God, not what somebody else is doing. You know what I mean?
Right. And today's wisdom helps us understand that those who are praising them are ones that are forsaking God's ways themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're not shocked. Yeah. They're not like, oh my goodness, you know, this is great. But mm-hmm. we're supposed to try and to prevent this, to resist it, which means is defined as to prevent it by action or argument. Mm-hmm. And an argument is just a different viewpoint. It doesn't mean going in the streets and arguing with somebody. It means, mm-hmm. you know, just saying, well, that's your viewpoint, but let's just find out what God has to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not share our opinions because, you know.
Right.
And how do we do this? The first thing we do is make Jesus the Lord of your life.
Yeah.
Because quite mm-hmm. often you hear people that are conservatives in America and they talk like they're Christians, but they're actually just conservatives. Mm-hmm. They like that form of government. Mm-hmm. They like the things that come along with Christian values, you know, but the truth is that you got to know Jesus yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about, hey, we need this God thing, because I know there's an atheist right now. Her name is Cup.
I mean, S.E.
Cup. She's an atheist, but she likes the idea of conservative government. So she sounds more like, you know, the Christian value of America than many Christians do.
Mm-hmm.
But she's an atheist. So you can't get caught up in the fact that just because, you know, you are a conservative, you know, mm-hmm. that's your politics or you're part of a particular party that you know Jesus. No, you know Jesus if you know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
And he knows you. Right. So first thing you want to do is make Jesus the Lord of your life. And you can do that through, we can help you out. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out how you can do that now, just like Steve was talking a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. The second thing is abide with him, just what I talked about. Begin to abide with him. Don't run out in the streets and start arguing with people yet. Just abide with him. Get full of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Get full of God. Don't step outside your abiding place until you're full of God. Mm. Because if you move before you're full of God, you're moving when you're full of it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And it's like, oh, you're full of it, but you're not full of God. You need to go back and spend time with God because you're arguing preference here. You're not arguing the love of God. Because if you were talking about the love of God, then you would have to say, I am you outside of him.
That's right.
But I found him and you can find him too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, such were some of us, and that we mm-hmm. can. And so there's a loving a reality to a father calling his people home. And then we become Jesus's disciple. And Jesus mm-hmm. says, you're really my disciple if you know and follow my teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says in Proverbs chapter 1, talking about the shot being fired over the bow and the highlights on the VFN torch, mm-hmm. is that he says, I want to make my teachings known to you.
Mm.
And you need to go back
to repent.
Yeah, you need to repent. But first, you got to find out what and repent means. I got to stop what I'm doing and do what God wants me to do. But you're not going to know that until you find out what his teachings are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so become his disciple. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, teach them to obey all of my commandments,
mm-hmm.
everything that I've commanded you. And this is how we love God. We love God through obeying his teachings. We're not earning anything. This is how we love God. Mm-hmm. And we can do that through the empowerment of abiding with Jesus. And at this point, you know, you think about it, we're walking in God's way. So now we're empowered to properly resist evil. We're ready and equipped to be able to resist, to have a right kind of argument of That's saying, right. you know, I know what you're saying. I know that everything in your flesh just wants to give over to this thing because for a long time, the enemy's been gnawing at you. and been telling you, you know, if you could just live your life this way, which is contrary to God's way, then it would, all this pressure would stop. But the truth is, it's not, it wouldn't stop. It's going to be way worse. And that what seems like freedom, and that's what they're, that's what's being taught right now, is that, and he talks about that in 2 Peter. He says, in these liars basically are saying, you know, that they're promising you freedom.
Loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, well, literally, he just says they're promising you freedom, but they're false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not freedom in walking away from God. There's actually bondage. And then he goes about saying, and it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's better for you to never have known than to have known and turned away.
They're crucifying him all over.
It's crucifying him all over again. Yeah. But in Peter, where he's talking about that, you're understanding that that when somebody says freedom outside of following God, that's actually captivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we can begin to have a right kind of argument now. But that argument will sound really bad if you're not abiding with God.
Mm-hmm.
It'll sound hateful and religious, even though you use the same words. It's going to sound critical, religious, and fault-finding and everything else versus out of compassion and love when you're sharing that very same word. Because remember, many people have the same Bible, but they don't have the same God.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people are caught up in religion, and just because we had, you know, you might have had a relationship with God at one time ago, and you left God, doesn't mean that you're, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to come back to him. And, and oftentimes you need a clean break. I mean, don't it's like, don't believe the hype. Don't believe it. If you didn't know God and you lived contrary to his ways, and say you know of that you didn't know of him or about him or knew the Bible stories, you didn't know him. You didn't have intimacy. You didn't abide. You didn't obey his word. He wasn't living in your life. You have to abide. You got to return back to him. You got to give your whole heart to him. And then you begin to abide and spend time with him, and then begin to share and carry this out.
Yeah, and so understanding, you're seeing a lot of people say, hey, let's go this wicked way, let's go this immoral way. And then you're seeing people in the streets going, yeah. You know, and then you're supposed to, as a believer, look what God says about it and find out what he's saying. You got to check first. Don't assume your preferences are right. And then then begin to do what we just talked about. But in that, you know, he says, if my people who are called by my name do this, then things begin to get restored and all. So we understand this is not odd what's taking place. The wisdom for today, the wisdom moment for today tells us what's going on. You have people who knew what the people who wanted to do immoral things wanted to hear. So they stood in front of them and they said, this is what I want to do. And they make them their leader. But ultimately, this whole thing is captivity by God's set man. God is just in Babylonian captivity if we don't wake up. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 28:4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, the immoral. But those who keep the law resist them. Well, God bless. We had a wonderful time in the extra hour today. So glad to have you, Steve, John, and Pat. We pray that you have a blessed day. Don't forget, in 30 minutes, the loop begins, 24/7 loop. Also, find out more at VFNTV.com. Go watch those segments on VFNTV, VFNTV.com. God bless.